We're going to talk about vows today. It's a pretty important part of Judaism.
Vows?
Vows, yeah.
I never
said. I'm not talking about marriage vows. That's actually not a Jewish idea. It's not about exchanging vows.
Yeah.
But vows are commitments that we make. Of course, the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, starts with an emphasis or focus on vows, Kol Nidrei, all vows. So, in today's parsha, at the very end of the fourth reading, we have one pasuk, one verse, and it speaks about vows. And the verse goes as follows, chapter 23, verse 24. Moitzei sfasecha tishmer. That which comes or issues from your mouth, you must guard, watch, or keep. V'yasisa. And you have to do kasher nadarta, as you have vowed. L'Hashem alikecha, to the Lord your God. Nedava asher dibarti. Hey, what's the problem? Nedava, the vow, asher dibarta beficha, that you have spoken from or with your mouth. So this verse on the surface seems pretty redundant. You say, Meitzes Husecha Tishmer. Number one, you should, that which comes from your mouth, you have to wash. Watch, pardon me. And then we say, V'yasisa, you should do, Kashen Adarta L'Hashem Alekecha, as you have vowed to Hashem your God. And then it says, Nedava Asher Dibarta Beficha. The Nedava, the commitment that you made with your mouth. So we have to understand this verse. Why does it speak using so much redundancy? Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says on a very, very simple level, what we have here when the Torah uses this kind of verbiage, namely, Moitzes vasecho tishma v'asisa. So Rashi says that when the Pasuk says Moitzes vasecho tishma litin asei al loitasei, that the Pasuk here comes to ensure that the responsibility that we have to keep our vows is in fact not only a negative mitzvah, but also a positive mitzvah. In other words, not only is it wrong to violate. I'm going to give you some food. Relax. Take out this thing. Okay. Here. Not only is it wrong for us not to do what we said we were going to do, but furthermore, a person has a positive mitzvah to actually follow through and do what they said. And there are some mitzvahs in the Torah which are comprised of a single commandment, either a negative or a positive. And there are some mitzvahs in the Torah which have a positive and a negative attached to it. And Rashi says, on a simple level, the notion that the Torah goes through the seeming hoops here and tells us, Moitzis vasecha tishma. And then the asisa, you shall guard it, you shall watch, is like a negative commandment. And then we have this idea afterwards, the asisa kasher nadarta, that this becomes, in effect, a positive and a negative. Rashi really doesn't go into the redundancy here. It doesn't speak much about the fact that the verbiage is so nuanced. However, the other sages do. So let me just share with you, first and foremost, what the Gemara says in Maseches Shavuos on page 26. The Gemara says, Ein li ela shahaitzi b'sfasecha. I would only know that you're responsible to do what you said, that which issued from your lips. Gomar b'libay, if a person, in fact, in his heart, made a commitment, how do we know that you have to follow through? And the Gemara says, because it says with regard to the gifts that were provided for the Mishkan, that it says, kol nadiv lev, all those who are generous of heart. And since it emphasizes generous of heart, so from this we learn that even if the generosity has remained in the level of heart, meaning it wasn't spoken out, it wasn't clearly committed in verbiage, nonetheless, we still remain obligated. So that's kind of an emphasis, Meitzes Vasecha Tishmer, and then V'yasisa Kasher Nadarta. The Nadarta doesn't necessarily have to mean something which I actually verbally spoke out. If I made a commitment in my heart of mind that I'm going to do something, I actually have to follow through. There's a machlokes that Hashem about this, incidentally. The Ravid holds that even if somebody did not verbalize it, that it becomes a vow and you're obligated to follow through and keep it. And the Rebbe errs on that side. There's an exchange of letters between the Rebbe and his father. The Rebbe follows the opinion of the Ravid, that even if he didn't speak it out, even then a person would be required to follow through with that which he promised to do in his heart. The Chizkuni says that we speak here, whenever we speak about vows, there's two possibilities. There's the things that I promise not to do, and then there's the things I promise to do. And sometimes people think that one might be more important than the other, and therefore the Torah says, Moitzis vasecha tishmer. Whatever came out of your mouth, whatever commitment you made, you have to follow through. And then, viosisa, if you said you were going to do something, that you actually have to go ahead and do it afterwards as well. So the Chizkuni seems to kind of follow that side. And in the Or HaChaim, we have this idea that when it says, keep what you said, viosisa kasher nedarta, the Or HaChaim suggests that if a person is not necessarily able to keep a commitment, then they shouldn't make a commitment. A lot of times people commit things. How do you plan to do that? Oh, I don't know, I'm making a commitment. There's a famous joke that the bank robber broke into Bank Leumi in Tel Aviv, and he escaped with 5 million shekels in pledges. It's a joke. So people make pledges all the time. And Or HaChaim says, when you make a pledge, remember that tishmer viosisa. It has to be followed with action. So the pledge should be realistic. Although, on the other hand, the Rebbe often said that if a person makes pledges for tzedakah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes helps. You should be able to do what you promised. Nonetheless, it's got to be somewhere rooted in reality. You can't live in a fantasy land. I think the most fascinating commentary of this whole business of speaking, and the Or HaChaim says that oftentimes when people think a lot about something, without even realizing it, their lips move and they verbalize. This is called, in the language of Chassidus, it's called machshava shebedibur. So there's thought, and thought is almost instantaneous. It's not carefully meditated. We don't choreograph our thoughts. Our mind wanders. And then there's words. So we choose words, and we usually choose our words carefully. But sometimes people blurt things out. And when you blurt things out, this is what they call in English a Freudian slip. And Freudian slips can be very revealing. The person says, I didn't mean to say that. I know. That's exactly why it's a big deal. Because the fact that you said it without meaning to say it is indicative that here you were telling everybody what you really feel, what's really in your heart. So it's called machshava shebedibur. It's verbalized, but it's in the realm of machshava. So the Or HaChaim says, very often when a person will ruminate and think about something, at some point they will verbalize it. Their lips will move, perhaps almost involuntarily, but their lips will move. And therefore, even according to the opinion that for a vow to be binding, that you have to have verbalized it, he says, Moitzis vasecha tishmer, watch what comes out of your mouth, v'asisa kasher nadarta, make sure you do that which you said you were going to do, even if you don't realize you said it. Or HaChaim seems to be almost explaining the opinion of Nediv Lev. He seems to indicate that he follows the opinion of the Rambam, that it does have to be verbalization, but you might not realize that the verbalization took place. And the reason you didn't realize it is because that's human nature. We speak. We speak all the time. Our mouths are constantly working, sometimes a little too hard. We do better being a little more silent sometimes. And because that's the case, if we thought very strongly about something, we might well have verbalized it on some level, in some fashion, becoming obligated, and therefore, Moitzis vasecha tishmer. Texting? I would say texting is obligatory. If you texted something, yeah, that's an action. And people text mindlessly today, or tweet mindlessly today. It's okay. All right, so now we're going to take an analysis of this business of Moitzis vasecha tishmer, the seeming redundancy that the Torah employs here, the unusual language. And fascinatingly, the Rambam, who couches everything in the book of Mishneh Torah in terms of halacha, so halacha is very precise, the Rambam replicates this language almost to the T. Almost to the T. Take a look now in the Burim book on page Lamed Aleph, Simen Chaf Aleph of Parshas Ki Seitzei. The Rambam in his Minyan HaMitzvahs, where he enumerates the mitzvahs prior to actually going through the halachas, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs of Hilchas Nedarim, the Rambam says the following. Sheyishmer Moitzi Sifasov, that a person should keep or guard or watch that which issued from his lips, V'yase, and he should do K'moy Shenodar, as he had vowed. Which is very, very similar to the language. Here you are, sweetie. Hey, you don't want. Okay, no problem. Have a sushi. All right, no problem. So the question then becomes, okay, fine. When it comes to a pasuk, so sometimes the pasuk contains many different ideas, and not all of them are practical or halachically binding. Some of them are conceptual, theoretical. But the Rambam speaks to us in the language of halacha. So why is it that in a language of legalese, Torah legalese, that the Rambam would seemingly offer us what sounds almost like biblical poetry prose? Sheyishmer Moitzei Sfasov, that you'll keep that which issues from your lips, V'yase, and you'll do K'moish another, which is seemingly a reflection of the words Moitzei Sfasecha Tishmer, keep the words that came from your lips, V'yasisa and do Kasher Dibarta. So the Rebbe suggests in commentary on the Rambam, which ultimately reflects back to the verbiage employed by the scripture itself, that there is no redundancy. Rather, there's hagdaras, ha-mitzvah, there is the actual framing and definition of the technical side of the mitzvah, how this mitzvah is actually performed. And in order to understand how this mitzvah is performed, the Torah needed to use what seems to be redundant language, but what actually isn't. Okay, how so? The Rambam paskins, and this is in Hilchos Maase HaKorbanos, in the laws of offerings, mandatory offerings, or the details of how offerings are brought. So in chapter 16, in the beginning, the Rambam says like this, and this is based on the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Menachos on page 107. Hanoider Godel, a person who vows to bring a large or big one. Vehevi Katan, but instead he brings a small one. So you promised a lot, and you did not so much. What do you say? You fulfilled your vow? So yeah, that's right. The halacha says lo yatzo. You didn't fulfill the vow. What about katan? What if you promised to bring something small? And then in fact, the hevi gadol, but you brought something large or big. So what happens then? Then we say, if you did more than you promised, yatzo. You fulfilled your obligation. And the Mishnah goes on and asks, Ketzat, how does this unfold? Practically speaking, give me an example of what could have happened here. And the Mishnah says, Omar, a person said, Hare olai oila, I pledge to bring an ascent offering, or a shlomim, a peace offering. And he promised to bring a kevesh. A kevesh is a sheep. It's a small animal. And then, heavy isle. Instead of bringing a small sheep, he brought a large ram. So it's the same korban, it's the same animal, but instead of bringing a small animal, he or she brought a large animal. The Rambam gives another example. Nodar egel. You promised for the kind of korban for which a cow is brought, to bring a calf. Vehevi shor. But in fact, you brought an ox. A third example, because korbanos can be brought from one of three animals, from sheep, from goats, or from cows. Gedi, a small kid, a kid goat, the hevi seir, and he brought a billy goat, a he goat. Once again, the Rambam says in all of these cases, yatza, one would have necessarily fulfilled their obligations. Why? So the thing is like this. This is more than just promising 100 and giving 200. And the reason is because when you promised 100 and gave 200, you did give 100. You didn't not give, you gave 100. But when you promised to bring a small animal, you didn't bring a small animal. You didn't actually do what you said you were going to do. It's true, you brought a larger animal as a korban. You brought a better korban, but it's not the korban you promised. It's different. It's not a question, just a difference in quantity, where somebody takes it from 100 to 200. Because 100 to 200, we say, yesh bechlal masayim mona. There's included in 200, 100. So you brought 100 and then some. So you would say a person who brought 100 and then some, he did what he or she was obligated to do, and then you went beyond the call of duty. He did something you weren't obligated to do. Here you promised a korban. You promised specifically to bring a little calf. You didn't do what you promised. Yeah, I did better than I promised. I brought a large ox. That may be so, but in fact, you didn't do what you promised you were going to do. Nonetheless, the halacha is yatza. You still fulfill your obligation. Now, whenever we have the word yatza in halacha, yatza means you have discharged your obligation. You are no longer obligated. From this point and onward, your whatever obligations you have been retired. Mashmos lashon Rambam. The Rebbe, very carefully looking at the words the Rambam uses, says what's intimated here is shelechatchila al ha'adam lahavi karban me'asug hameduyik shetziyim benidrei. Ideally, a person should have brought or should have done exactly as he or she said they were going to do. That's really what should have been done. Do exactly as you said. You said you bring a calf, then bring a calf. You said a kid, then bring a kid. But you brought a billy goat. That's nice. It's nice. Yatza means, in fact, you will have discharged your obligation, but you didn't do what you said you were going to do. What happens if circumstances? So we say like this, and your question is, what happens if I wanted to do something and I didn't? So a little earlier, before you came, we talked about the Or HaChaim says, when you make a vow that you can actually keep. Because people love to make pledges, you know, especially if other people are listening. So that's how the Or HaChaim explains the words, Moitzis Fasecha Tishmer V'asisa. Make sure that what you say, you're actually able to do. But in fairness, David, it's possible that somebody should be well-meaning, well-intentioned, and capable, and then unforeseen circumstances. So there's an expression that goes like this, Onus rachamana patre. If a person is unable, extenuating circumstance prevent them, you're exempt. However, kamanda avad lo yamrina. You still don't get the value of having done what you promised. It's nice, but, I mean, you can't be held culpable, but you still didn't do it. And the point here then is, that ideally a person should do as they say. Not even more. Whatever you said you were going to do, do what you said you were going to do. That's the point of a vow. The vow is not setting the bar low and then doing more, which a lot of people like to do. A lot of people like to promise, to under-promise and over-deliver. And from a perspective of marketing and customer service, it's a great way to do things. Always under-promise, always over-deliver. Absolutely, 100%. The worst thing you can do is overpromise and underdeliver. And lots of people do that. But from a perspective of being a person of integrity, person of a vow, you're supposed to do as you say. I once heard a story of somebody that a yeshiva student, the Rebbe sent off to the print house. This is in the early years, in the early 40s, when the Rebbe was really working single-handedly. And he promised him a nickel, I think, for doing this job. This is 1942, okay, or 43. And he ended up spending, he spent like 3 cents on the bus or something, and he wanted 7 cents. And the Rebbe said, I promised a nickel. Something like that, or I promised a dime. And he said, but I didn't realize it would cost me, and it took, I said, I promised you something. I gave exactly as I promised. So the Rebbe was very exact. Whatever he said, he did, and it didn't go beyond that. It was what it was. It is what it is, and that was, you know, that especially because it's mom and hegdish. It's tzedakah money. It was personal money. He's using a charity fund. That was very exact about it. Whatever he promised, he didn't promise, he didn't. In other words, ideally, one should always try to do exactly as they said they were going to do, which means in nadar lahavi kevesh, if you promise to bring a little sheep. Olav lahavi, what's really halachically binding on you? What should you really do? To bring a kevesh. You promise kevesh, bring kevesh. You want to be more generous? Bring 2 kvasim. Bring 3 kvasim. Bring something else afterwards. But not ayil. Nadir lahavi egel, you promised you were going to bring a calf, so alav lahavi egel, then bring egel v'leishay. However, at the end of the day, this is a person who did under-promise and over-deliver. They promised a little animal, and in fact, they were a large animal. Okay, b'di'eved, if you did that, im hevi korban gadol yoiser, if you did bring something larger, nonetheless, yotzi dechevasi. You cannot say a person didn't fulfill his vow when he promised to bring a small korban, and instead he brought a big korban. You can't say he didn't fulfill his vow. He did fulfill his vow. He just didn't do it exactly as he said. And the Rebbe said these two sides of the halacha, what we call l'chatchila and b'di'eved, two very important terms in halacha. L'chatchila is the way it should be, l'chatchila. B'di'eved is, this is what happened. Did I still fulfill the obligation? So we wouldn't tell you, if you said, how should I do this? We wouldn't say, oh, how? Do it X, Y, and Z. No, you shouldn't do it. You should do it A, B, and C. However, in the event that you didn't do A, B, and C, in the event that you did do an X, Y, and Z, we say, well, in that case, nonetheless, yatza. B'di'eved, you still fulfilled the case. And the Rebbe says that this is encapsulated in the words of the Pasuk and the words that the Rambam uses. Number one, Moitzei Sfasecha Tishmar, that which issues from your mouth you should keep, that's Lechatchila. Lechatchila, says the Rebbe, Ala Adam, Lahakpid, Lekayem, Isnidrei, a person should be very exacting, very precise on fulfilling his or her vow, Alpi, Mashma'usei, exactly the sounds you make, right, Miss Chana? Exactly the sounds you make is exactly what you should do. Watch what comes out of your mouth. If you said something, then do it. Olahavi karban, you bring a karban mehasug hameduyik from the exact species or kind shetziyim benidri. Do exactly what you say. So if the question is, what should I do? What's the answer? Exactly what you said you were going to do. That means the Jewish way in vows. That's the Torah way. In vows and commitments. Do exactly as you said. Watch your words. Moitzis fasecha. Meaning, the exact verbiage, the exact commitment, that's what you should do. However, what if somebody did more even? He didn't do exactly what he said, but he didn't leave anything wanting. He didn't cut any corners. So the next thing is, however, v'asisa, what's primarily important is, v'asisa kasher adarta, do as you vowed. Meaning, b'di'eved, if it happened, dai bekach, it's enough, sha'ado mekayim es toichen haneder, it will be sufficient if somebody would fulfill the content of the vow. As long as you fulfill the content and the vow, gami bli lahakpid al mashmu'usi amilulis, even if he wasn't so precise with the exact words that he used, v'lochein nitan lotzes al yedei choyva, es choyva, a person could fulfill his or her obligation, b'havas korban gadol, by bringing a large offering, shekein min hastam, we can assume lehoisa kavanas haneder lahagbilas haneder, the person didn't want to bring less, he wanted to bring at least. So we can assume that at least means if I could do more, I'll try to do even more. It's not like I wasn't my vow. Ultimately, yeah, that was my deeper intention. I did want to do more. Everybody wants to over-deliver. Who doesn't want to over-deliver? So, but the fact is you didn't say that. You may have intended it. You may have wanted to do more if it would be possible, but you didn't say that. So the beginning of the pasuk and the halacha is moitzei sfasecha, exactly what you said has to be followed. However, ve'asisa ka'asher nadarta, ka'asher means like, or along the lines. You should do along the lines, or like you vowed, which means that if a person does more, that won't be held against them. And ultimately, yatza is to fulfill your obligation. And this is very important. It's important for people to know that they should be careful with the words they use. The Torah wants us to watch our words. And that which you said you're going to do, you must do everything possible to fulfill in the exact fashion. And in the event that you end up going beyond, nishkefer, you should still fulfill, certainly though, not to subtract from what you said you were going to do. And if you can't do it, well, don't promise it. Empty pledges don't help anybody. It only makes the person counting pledges happy. And ultimately, that is not the Jewish way, even if people like to do that in public oftentimes. The way that we have to do is, if you're ready to make a vow, think about it carefully, make sure you can do this, and only afterwards, then make the commitment and carry through. Oh.
How good is it about understate it deliberately, knowing that you're going to do better anyway? That's the other way of looking at it.
You ask a good question. I'm going to respond before we go offline. You ask what, so how good is a vow if you're planning to do more, so you know what
but
you should.
So
then you should if you're deliberately understating it. Here's the words you should choose. I promise to do at least.
Oh, okay.
Well, neither, right? Of course, which is always the best thing to do without making a vow. But if for whatever reason you have to make a vow and you really want to do more, you say I won't do less then. And that way you're doing exactly what you said, because even though you did more, you indicated that you might do more. But this is the modicum of the kind of commitment that you were going to make.
Good lesson.